وما جانت من الخسيات من عند شلاكة تكشور النيل تامين التسمى الشيخ الرحيم.
Lord Krishna is described as Swa-arvaka. The Swa means belonging to person. So Krishna is described here as the son, Mother Yashoda's own son. So he's a naughty boy, most children are. So naturally Mother Yashoda wants to punish. She finds the rope is 2 fingers too short. 2 fingers means this way. Just this much too short. So she brought some rope. What more rope? What will you do? The rope is too short, you bring some more rope. But she miscalculated that all the rope in the universe cannot bind Krishna. Cannot bind Krishna. Because Krishna is not under anybody's control. Krishna wanted to show this. Now we find that Krishna, he admits himself, Aham bhakta paradhino nahi asvatantra hi dvijaha. He told Durvasa Muni, I am controlled by my devotees, I am not independent. This appears to be a contradiction, because the very beginning of Bhagavatam begins with the declaration of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is Swaraj. Janmadhyas Sayatam Vyad Tikaratas Chates Pabhinya Swaraj. Krishna is independent. He is his own boss. Swaraj means he is his own boss. Otherwise we say Swatantra. He does as he likes, whatever he likes to do. He's independent. Then again, in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, we see that Krishna tells Durvasa Muni, Aham bhakta paradhino, I am under the control of my devotees. But here again we see that Krishna is not controlled by Mother Yashoda. He's showing. You think that I am your son. All right, I'm your son. But I'm not under your control. Krishna is not under the control of anybody. So this is one of those contradictions which mundane scholars, they will see. This is a contradiction. And therefore they will reject Shastra as being nonsense. Krishna is very kindly not revealing himself to the non-devotees. Dāham prakāsa sarvasya yoga maya sanāvitaha. Krishna says, I am not revealed to the non-devotees. I am covered by the curtain of yoga maya. They cannot understand me, who am unlimited. The mundane scholar, they cannot appreciate Krishna. He is unlimited. That means everything is within Krishna. Everything is possible for Krishna. If we say that Krishna is independent, that means that he's not dependent. But if he's complete, then everything must be within him. That means he must be independent and dependent. How is that possible? It's not possible for you and me. But for Krishna, everything is possible. So Krishna is showing how he is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is fully independent. At the same time, he is dependent upon his devotees. He is dependent upon his devotees, and if he wants, he'll show his independence. No, you can't tie me up. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then again he becomes dependent. Eventually he sees Mother Yashoda is becoming too much frustrated. So all right, then again I have to become dependent. But then he's tied up. He cannot get free from that martyr. He's tied up. Now Mother Yashoda has tied him up. Now what to do? He's tied up. If he wants, he can release himself. But no, he's tied. His mother tied him. So how can he go outside? How can he again become free? Because his mother tied him up. But then again, he drags the martyr between 2 trees, huge trees, and pulls them down. So both things are going on side by side. That he is a little boy. When the gopis are clapping, the elderly gopis, they're clapping their hands and singing, and little boy Krishna is dancing. He's dependent, he's subordinate to the Vrajavasins. But at the same time, he's showing his unlimited pastimes. So this the mundaners, they cannot understand. That's why Bhagavatam, it's not meant for the fools and rascals. Shastra is not meant to be read or studied by those who are not devotees. Those who want to understand everything by the empiric method, they should stick to physics, chemistry, biology, all these things. Even that they can't understand. Even to understand that, you need the mercy of Krishna. To understand anything, you need the mercy of Krishna. But to understand Krishna, that is not possible by any empiric method. Krishna hides himself. Shastra is so nicely written that those who are fools and rascals, by reading Shastra, what is the purpose of Shastra? To reveal Krishna. But those who are fools and rascals, those who read Shastra, they will not find Krishna. They will go to hell. They won't find Krishna. All the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. But those who are not devotees of Krishna, they can read the whole Vedas and they won't find. I don't find Krishna. Because Krishna is not revealing himself. Just like there's one Bengali saying that someone has read the whole Ramayana and after reading it, he asks, whose father is Sita? Sita cannot be the father of anybody because Sita is female. So he didn't understand anything. The whole Ramayana, practically it centers around Sita. There's the beginning, Balakanda, this and that is happening, but the real action begins. Actually, the real action begins when Sita gets kidnapped. That's when it gets really intense. So if you read the whole Ramayana, and at the end you read the whole Ramayana, yes. How did you like? Very nice. Just one thing I couldn't quite catch, that whose father is Sita? That it means that you're a fool number one. You didn't understand anything. You're not fit for it. You should go and get a brain surgery. It's just that you're not capable. You're not capable of understanding. You're so too much of a fool. So similarly, people are studying Shastra, but they can't understand Krishna. They don't find out Krishna. So we find that even some people, they're very learned in Shastra, but they have not even the slightest affection for Krishna. What is the nature of a devotee? He is affection for Krishna. He loves Krishna. A non-devotee means they don't love Krishna. They may be very learned in other ways. But if you don't have affection for Krishna, then you're not a devotee. Even you may have Vaishnav Tilak, may have all the external symptoms of a devotee. But if you don't have affection for Krishna, then you're not a devotee. And Krishna won't reveal himself to you. Krishna is playing with the residents of Vrindavan. He's not inviting for very closely with his lila, Duryodhana, or any other. You see, Krishna, in Gita, you'll find Arjuna is telling Krishna that sometimes I'm lying on the same bed as you, joking with you. Krishna is not doing with Duryodhana. Why? Duryodhana is the same age, more or less, as Arjuna and Krishna. He's the same status. They're both Rajaputra. They're both sons of kings and kings. They're both from the same family, actually. They're all Kauravas. So Duryodhana also very valiant Kshatriya. He's not a coward. He knows how to fight. But why is it that Krishna is friend of Arjuna? Krishna has different names. Parthasarath is well known now. He is the chariot driver of Arjuna. Parthasakha. He is the friend of the sons of the friend of the Pandavas. Why? Why not Duryodhana? Why is not Duryodhana Sakha? Actually, of course, we'll find in Krishna's lila even Balaram is inclined towards Duryodhana. But not Krishna. There's some difference of opinion. So why is Krishna not inclined towards Duryodhana? Why does he not accept Duryodhana's invitation when Duryodhana invites him to lunch? Because he has no affection for Krishna. He has no feeling for Krishna. He doesn't like Krishna. He's envious of Krishna. So Krishna doesn't reveal himself. Even Krishna showed himself to Duryodhana. This is Vishwarupa. Even then, he had no faith. So he said, he thought this is just some Sai Baba magic, that's all. He would not accept Krishna as supreme. Even Krishna gave full evidence. This is the Vishwarupa. Here I am. He won't accept. Because he's a demon. So, even if full evidence is there, we won't find, the whole Shastra is meant for understanding Krishna. But those who are demoniac, those who are against Krishna, they'll study the whole Shastra and they'll come to so many different conclusions. You'll find in followers of Shastra so many different ideas. That's why one supposed to be Paramahamsa from Calcutta, he thought to synthesize everything and just say that jato mat tato pat. There are so many different ideas and it's all the same. But it's not. It's a wrong idea. It's all the same. There are so many different opinions, but the fact is one, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesterday I was just reading Prabhupada. He went to one ecumenical council. That means like this interfaith kind of thing, where everyone gets together and they say, well, I think God is like that. And someone else says, well, I think God is like that. And then they all say, well, that's very interesting. And they bring some tea together and they go home. Interfaith. So Prabhupada's interfaith preaching was that he actually made them very upset because he was saying that, no, what you're saying is wrong. This is correct. They said, wrong. How can you say you're correct? Prabhupada said, it's just like, if you want to go to London, you have to get on the plane and go. There's a certain system. How to go? You have to know the system. So they were saying, well, how can you know that it's correct? Prabhupada said, first you try to understand. If you want to go to London, you first have to understand what is your goal, then you have to know how to go there, then you go. What is the difficulty, Prabhupada was saying. So they were very upset. They said, well, the aim of this conference is we're supposed to come together and help each other to seek. And Prabhupada said, why should I seek? If you know where you're going and what you're doing, then why should I? You don't know, then what benefit I will get from you? Better you listen to me. So they didn't like that, because interfaith means everyone comes together and they all give their different opinions. And they say, well, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting perspective. And they come in ignorance and they leave in ignorance. But Prabhupada is a guru. So his job is to dissipate the ignorance. Another occasion, this was, one man came to Prabhupada and said, he was discussing with Prabhupada and he was saying, he said to Prabhupada, well, you know, it's very difficult to find a bona fide guru. And Prabhupada said, why? Why is it difficult? I'm a bona fide guru. I'm sitting in front of you. Why is it difficult to find? That's the fact. The fact is, Shastra is absolutely clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you are, of course, Shastra, how to open the secret is just like if you want to go get into the computer, you need the password. What is the secret? You have to hear Shastra from bona fide source. And then everything becomes clear. Otherwise, I think many of us, we may have had this experience that before coming to Krishna consciousness, we'd be reading different editions of Bhagavad Gita. I remember I read one edition and I read it all the way through and I thought, well, sounds very interesting, but didn't understand anything. Sounds very wonderful, but what's it all about? Don't know. And then you read Prabhupada's Gita and then, yes, now I know, this is the fact. And then everything becomes clear. That Krishna, he also states in Gita. What's that verse Krishna says? Yomameva sambhudho janati purushottamam sasaravid bhajatimam sarvabhavena bharata. That one who knows me, Krishna, says, without doubting, he knows everything. Kasmin vigyate sarvam vigyatam eva bhavati. That's also Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita is the summary of the Upanishads. That by knowing the absolute truth, you know everything, and there's nothing more to be known. So that's there in Gita. So many people are reading Gita. Krishna says that if you know me, you know everything. So that's a fact. If you get this secret password, in other words, you hear Shastra from a bona fide guru. Bona fide guru means Vaishnava. A Vaishnava guru nasyat. Vaishnava shvapacha guru. That statement is there. That one who is not a Vaishnava, he's not fit to teach. Because guru means teacher. So, shat karma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnava guru nasya vaishnava shapacha guru. That one may be very expert in all the different mantras, tantras, yantras, mudras and so many different things. But if you don't know Krishna, then you're not. How can you teach others? What is the purpose of the Vedas? But if you know Krishna, then even if you're born in a family of dog eaters, quite an amazing statement. I mean, you don't expect people from a dog-eater family to be speaking on such elevated topics as Krishna, Shastra. But even if someone from such a background, they know, if they're Vaishnava, then they should be good, they should teach. So this is the key to open the treasure chest of proper understanding of Shastra. And everything becomes very clear. Just if we're guided in the proper way, then all the statements of Gita, actually it's clear. But we are, our consciousness is so polluted, contaminated, that you can't see. You know, you can't see your own finger in front of your face in the darkness. Now it's very dark. You don't know because you're in the city. You're in the city, there are so many neon lights. But just like there was a power cut just now in the Brahma Muhurtam. So everything became completely black. Why? Because there's no moon now. The moon is just one little line. Now the moon is finished. Now he has to become healthy again. We're at the end of the Krishna Paksha. Now it's very dark at night. So in such a blackness, you cannot see the finger in front of your face. So black. So like that, Shastra is very clear, but we don't perceive it because we are in the blackness, in the darkness of ignorance. We don't see. So, by getting this knowledge through the Parampara Guru system, then everything becomes very clear. Apparent contradictions. How is it the Supreme Absolute Truth is tied up by a village woman? Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. we are pleased to announce. It doesn't make any sense. Not by common sense. Common sense is not meant for understanding Krishna, because Krishna is asadharan. He's not common. He's not normal. He is alaukik, aprakrita, adhokshaja. All these different words are used to describe Krishna. Aprakrita means he's not under the laws of material nature. Adhokshaja, he's not any subject matter that can be understood simply by seeing through our eyes. People say, show me God. You think you can see God with your eyes? Just with your eyes you will see? You have to get the divine vision. That means one has to be trained how to understand Krishna. So that is being described here, this verse. Again and again and again we should repeat. Atah Shri Krishna Rama Adi Na Bhavad Grahya Mindriyai Sevam Mukhe Hijivada Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Krishna is not revealed to the mundane senses, but when we become eager to serve Krishna, then as he likes, he may be pleased to reveal himself. It's not that simply one will wear. How to understand Krishna? You'll find in the Shastra, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, given all the rules and regulations of devotional service. One should wear tilak, one should perform sankirtan, one should rise early, attend all these programs. There are different rules and regulations given. But even by doing all these things, that's why you'll find also this statement, that even if one follows all these things, it's not a guarantee that you'll become Krishna conscious. It's not a guarantee that you'll get love of God. Because all these rules and regulations are required, they are necessary. But the key point is, what is our attitude? Why are we doing it? Because we want to love Krishna, or we want to take the position of Krishna? We want to get Krishna's blessings so we can enjoy material life very nicely. Why are we doing? Why are we performing? Why are we doing all these things? So the devotee will give the answer that he wants to do all these things because he wants to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda described here, who has been given by Krishna the right to tie him up, because she is so much in love with Krishna. She so much wants to serve Krishna. She wants to serve Krishna so much that she will tie him up so that he won't be a bad boy. She has to punish him. Just like you'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was regularly punishing his son and chastising him because he was such a bad boy. So one night in a dream, one deva came and said that, you shouldn't punish him. You don't know who he is. Jagannath Mishra said, I don't care who he is. He may be a great demigod, he may be Narayan himself. But right now, he's in my home, he's my son, and it's my duty to train him. If he does wrong, I should tell him. So this attitude, that he wants to see how Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is his benefit? Because he has such a strong attitude of service, he thinks that I have to speak to him, teach him for his benefit. Never mind, alright, he may be Narayan, this, that, the other. We have to serve him. So that mood of service has become so strong that even the fact that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is not so important to the internal devotees as the fact that we should serve Krishna. Whether he's God or not, they don't care. They want to serve. Now in our neophyte stage, we are studying how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How we are eternally related to him in an attitude of service. How he is very great and we are very small. just to convince us that we should serve Him. But those who are the most advanced devotees, this philosophical understanding that we are the servants of Krishna, they have no use for that, because they're going to serve Krishna anyway, whether He's God or not. Their affection for Krishna has become so intense that they're naturally inclined to serve Krishna. And even if someone tries to convince them otherwise, they can't stop serving Krishna. You see the gopis sometimes among themselves, they would be discussing that now we should not speak of Krishna. Krishna is simply giving us trouble. Let's stop. They made an agreement, all the gopis, that from now we shall stop talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, all these things. All right, stop. But they can't do it, because Krishna has captured them. That is the nature of love of Krishna. Krishna has captured them with love. So that is bittersweet, we say in English. Bitter but sweet. Just like sometimes you get a chutney. It's so much chili, burns your mouth. But it's so sweet and nice flavor that anyway you go on eating. So like that. Ahareva, what's that? Ahareva ayam prema, that is described that. Krishna prema, or love of Krishna, it's like Ahareva katiya prema, it's like the movements of a snake. Snake doesn't go straight, snake goes like this. So you don't know what's going to happen next. It's going this way, that way, this way, that way. Krishna is absolutely unpredictable. There's another example given that... Mandukya Gatinyai. The movements of a frog. If you see a frog, he'll jump like this, and then like this, and like that. You don't know which direction, or whether he's going to jump short or long. Doesn't appear to follow any logic. But he has his own logic. He's going to some place, but not exactly. It's not predictable. When the frog is there, where he jumps, you don't know which direction he's going to jump in. So like that, Krishna is absolutely unpredictable. You can't say what he's going to do. What he's going to do next. So in our lives we find that also. If we surrender to Krishna, as much as we give ourselves to Krishna, we don't know what's going to happen. We are asked, you surrender to Krishna. Actually, it requires great faith to surrender to Krishna. Because you don't know what Krishna will do with you. You have no idea. If we surrender to Krishna, it's just like all the residents of Vrindavan, they surrendered to Krishna. They didn't know that Krishna was just going to one day leave them. They had no idea. And then they're always expecting he would come back. They don't know, is he going to come or not come? You don't know. Krishna, he has his own way of working, his own way of thinking. You can never predict. You can never do a mathematical calculation and say that Krishna will do like this. This will happen. You don't know what will happen. Krishna has his own way of doing things. And sometimes it may be that Krishna deals with us in such a way that we are surprised. The Pandavas, they could never imagine that. See, here we are, we're devotees of Krishna, everything is very nice, we did Rajasuya Yajna, and everything is wonderful. And then just suddenly, everything is not wonderful. But actually, everything was wonderful. Even when the Pandavas were in the forest, they were apparently suffering. But their position was much better than Duryodhana's. Duryodhana was thinking, now I'm very happy. I'm in the kingdom. I'm on the throne. Kosi Noga. Rajasan. I've got my Kosi.
Everyone in India, they want to get the cursing, so he got his throne, king's throne. So he's thinking everything is very nice. The Pandavas are in the forest for 12 years. Then for 1 year, if within 1 year we find them again, they'll be gone. So everything is very nice. And the So ultimately, even at that time, they're in a better position. Just like Satsuru Maharaj just described very nicely in Prabhupada Lilamrita, that Prabhupada was in America when he first came. He was on the streets in New York, no friends, no money, no sign of any success. But Satsuru Maharaj very nicely analyzed that anyway, he was a success. His mission was a success even then. Even without any followers. Why? Because he was following the order of his spiritual master and he was fully surrendered to Krishna. So already he was a success. And later that success manifested as a big worldwide movement. But from the personal point of view, Prabhupada's life was already fully successful because he was following the order of his spiritual master despite all difficulties. So he was already a success. And later on, of course, the movement of Krishna consciousness expanded wonderfully. So same thing, Pandavas, they were in the forest, apparently they were in a very difficult situation. And then later, even materially, they regained their position. Jayastu Panduputranam Isham Pakshe Janardana. The sons of Pandu, they must always be victorious because Krishna is on their side. So this devotee, he wants to be on Krishna's side. He doesn't make material calculations. That if I pursue material life, I can become a rich man, successful. He doesn't care for all these things. He thinks, better I'll be a beggar if I can remember Krishna. Better I can be insulted, rejected, all these things, if I can remember Krishna. And Hare Krishna. Even if I'm so-called successful, if you don't remember Krishna, then your life is a complete failure. Now in India, everyone is interested in how to be a success. So who is a success? Who is a success? Someone says, I'll go to America and become a success. They're all failures because they failed to satisfy Krishna. And devotees from the material point of view, they're all failures. From the material point of view, because you have no material career. You don't have any high status in society. You're all failure. You're all failures. We all fail to satisfy the materialistic people. But we don't care. We want to satisfy Krishna. If Krishna is satisfied, then we are satisfied. And if the whole world doesn't like it, then let them go to hell. Anyway, they're going to hell. We don't want them to go to hell. We're trying to make their life successful by giving them Krishna consciousness. So this the vision of a devotee is quite different from that of a non-devotee. Devotee, he's interested in Mother Yashoda, cowherd boys, gopis, Arjuna. And non-devotees, they're interested in, some sport stars, and cinema stars. And they're all shooting stars. They're bright for a short time and then finished. But Krishna is the eternal shining sun. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahoy Andaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is the darkness of ignorance. Or more commonly, Krishna is compared to the moon. Krishna Chandra. Krishna appeared in the dynasty of the moon. Soma Vamsha. So he's often compared to the moon, because the moon is very cooling. Nitai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Shushitala. The moon is considered to be very cooling after the heat of the summer. And summer day, the moon rises, very nice, cooling. So this is the desire of a devotee. To get the favor of Krishna, to get the favor of Krishna's devotees. And others, so many big men of this material world, they come and they go. One of the big men of this material world, Charles de Gaulle, famous French general and politician, he said something very interesting. He said, the graveyard is full of indispensable men. He's also in the graveyard now, at least his body. You follow that? The graveyard is full of indispensable men. Everyone is thinking, I'm so important, but when they die, the material world goes on. There's one British Prime Minister, William Pitt. I learned this in school. Something, one of the few things I remember that I learned in school. Because it was such a foolish thing, he said. He died. As he died, he said, my country, how I leave my country. He was lamenting because he was the Prime Minister and he was dying. He was considering that my country, I was not able to do for my country everything I wanted to do. So he died and the country went on. There's no, just because he died, it didn't mean that England is finished. That Prabhupada, he noted when he went to France, because in France there's a saying that France is Napoleon and Napoleon is France. So Prabhupada said that, well, France is here. Where is Napoleon? He's not. So they, materialistic people, they put faith in the fallible soldiers. Asat Sanya, useless. They put their faith in politicians. They put their faith in their family members. They cannot help us. They put their faith in different theories of Freud, Darwin, Marx. They're all useless. Who can actually help is Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question? From this slope today? Around slope. Okay, which number? You're having some doubt on the purport, is it?
Not purport doubt, but light commentary.
This is Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it's quite a long way around.
This Bhagavad Gita only for...
Gita Hamasya Jagataha, this verse?
Our Krishna said that our mother father is also Krishna and...
Pita hamasya jagata mata data pita vasoham apstu kaunteya prabhashmi shashi suryo. Everything is Krishna. This Krishna is teaching how we can see.
Jiv Krishna ka hum sone ke karan Krishna
hai. In one sense, yes. Here in the purport, Prabhupada says that every jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. So every jiva is also Krishna. So that's true in one sense. That's why we have the philosophy. Achintya bhedade. So that every jiva is Krishna, that is true.
Then Mayavadi said, I am Krishna, then how can I?
But that's true. But it's also true that every jiva is different from Krishna. Both things are true. You are Krishna in as much as you are part and parcel of Krishna. You are one in quality, but not in quantity. So in Gita, Krishna teaches, Rasaham Apsa Kaunteya, I am the taste of water. That doesn't mean that the water is the supreme absolute truth, the source of everything. But it's representative of Krishna. The jiva is Krishna in as much as he represents Krishna. Not that every jiva is supreme, not in that sense. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Jai. Srila Prabhupada.